Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Friday, which means another Retro A Ultima, this time all the way back to 2009 for episode 3 of series 1, which I think includes some stuff about people getting swine flu. So it's still topical. Happy birthday to producer Ben, who is doing, as always, stalwart work for us, even in this lockdown, getting stuff ready for broadcast. Happy birthday to producer Ben. Happy birthday to producer Ben. The advertising revenue we're making from this will go to pay the cast, finally, for their fine work that they did 11 years ago. And also to the Comedians Fund at justgiving.com, Heckle the Virus. Do give some money to that if you want to help comedians through this difficult time. And also, we are raising money for the Trussell Trust, which is a food bank charity. If you go to gofasterstripe.com, you can get my show, We're All Going to Die, from 2013, for free. But you will be asked to make a donation to the Trussell Trust, which can be as little as a pound. It can be as much as £10 billion. All your money goes to a fantastic charity. So please, it's only for this week coming. Go to gofasterstripe.com. And by that download, it's one of my favourite of my own shows. I think there's some very strong material in there. I hope you will enjoy it if you get it. And do remember to tune in to twitch.tv/RKHerring. Follow me if you can. Subscribe with Amazon Prime if you can. You can go to YouTube, my Herring 1967 channel, and see how to subscribe. You'll give us money at no cost to yourself if you're an Amazon Prime member. Anyway, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy what was funny in 2009 to a very small and select group of people. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday, Ben. Keep up the good work.
As it occurs to me, as it occurs to me, as it occurs to me.
Please welcome the man it's all occurred to, Richard Herring.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Leicester Square Theatre. Welcome to AI Ottoma. That's all the cool kids. Are doing it. It's the show that's made on a shoestring, held together with shoestring, and as observant listeners will have realised by now, is a subtle parody of the 1979 BBC series Shoestring, starring Trevor Eve. Well done if you spotted that. It's a very, very subtle parody. Do write in with the things that you think are the parodies of Shoestring, though.
and I'll tell you if you've got those right. You know, it is that everyone's getting into it. The audience has built a bit this week. It's quite exciting. And as I was just walking around just in Leicester Square, a grown-up man who was bald came up and just handed me a packet of Haribos. So that is the power. That's the power of this show. My mum told me never to accept sweets from strangers, but we just ate them all in the dressing room, so hopefully it's... I'm starting to wonder, because we talked about this last week and the week before, and I kind of wish we'd sort of mentioned something like more exciting, like gold, or just something nicer than Haribo's, really. It's never mind, but... or iPhones. But I've set myself the ridiculous task of writing around 45 minutes of brand new material every week for 10 weeks on my own with no team of writers like all the other proper comedians get that you think write their own jokes, but they don't. Going out unedited, whatever happens, even if I just ad-lib slagging off other comedians. It's almost guaranteed to end in a disastrous car crash, and you are rubbernecking ghouls who just can't help but gawp. You're spectators at a Grand Prix hoping that none of the cars explode in flames, whilst at the same time praying that they do. Or how are you going to get your money's worth? I hate you all, you scum. This week's show is dedicated to William Willett, without whom I would have nothing tonight, definitely. You probably don't know who he is. He's the man who invented daylight saving in 1915, mainly because he liked horse riding before breakfast and playing golf before dusk. So this is a true story. He persuaded Germany to adopt the change. It was then taken over by England. It seems to me it might have been easier for him just to move the time of his breakfast for that to work, but that's the reason this is all happening. But it's lucky for the show and for me, because if he hadn't done that, believe me, that extra hour this weekend has made all the difference to this show. You should have seen this script an hour ago. It was terrible. Luckily, I've kind of been able to sort of travel back in time like Marty McFly and change it without all the unpleasantness of my mum trying to have sex with me. I had sex with her anyway. She didn't want me to, but I had an extra half an hour to spill. So. And please welcome my comedy fluffers, helping to suck the flaccid and useless penis of hilarity into some kind of semi-erection that is just about capable of being squeezed like a marshmallow into the vaginal passage of laughs and the anal passage of embarrassment. It's Dan Tetzel, TV's Emma Kennedy, and on the guitar, Christian Riley. Good to have you back.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for coming in again.
Hello.
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 Hello. What have you been up to this week, Dan?
This week I have been annoyed for no reason other than I was watching it by The X Factor. My girlfriend made me watch it. And it's the hyperbole of every time before they sing and they do a little package about the person who's about to sing. One of the judges always says, well, if they don't get this right, could be a disaster. Every week. And he's going, well, yes, of course. I mean, if they don't sing this well, they won't have sung it well. Yes, I get it. If they don't win the X Factor, then they're not going to win the X Factor. Yes, I get it. If he comes on stage and pulls down his pants and tugs his penis until it's erect, and then just as he's about to ejaculate, he shits. And then it all spills over onto the audience. It could be a disaster. I just stop it. And also, I've noticed that I spilled my lunch on my trousers.
Did you? Is that, the audience have noticed that too.
And I only spotted that under the stage lights. Oh. So that's
it. It is embarrassing. You've really come out of your shell this week.
Rambling, covered in food.
Amazing. Suddenly off like a rocket. Christine, anything happened to you this week?
This week I took my son to the pub for the first time.
How old's your son?
Two.
Good work. What did he have?
He enjoyed it. He had bitter.
Oh, nice. Good to start.
Yeah, it made him sleepy.
Good. Well, that's good. I model myself on Christian, and his lifestyle is amazing. And TV's Emma Kennedy, you're the foul mouth. TV's
yes.
Emma Kennedy, what have you been up to?
I was filming Casualty.
Of course you were, yes. People remember this.
All this week. For those here who don't know, I'm actually 42 years of age and was cast as a 62-year-old woman. So I don't think it was unreasonable of me to expect when I got there that there'd be some sort of extensive prosthetic work. Maybe a grey wig, an old witch's hat, I don't know. And so I went onto the makeup bus thinking, well, I'm going to be here hours. They just handed me a mascara and said, do that yourself. And that was it.
Oh, sad. I've had quite a few... sad. It's a sad story. It's good to have some bathos, isn't it? I've had quite a few emails about your potty mouth. You've been quite swearing quite a lot. And they're all from men.
Yes.
Not, usually in a show like you get complaints, but the swearing, it's all from men who like it and are clearly turned on by it. Asking stuff, do you kiss your mum with that sewer of a mouth?
That's, sometimes.
You do, yeah.
Not with tongues.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah. That's what my mum was like. So anyway... Do you have anything disgustingly rude to say at this point to bring off the sad and desperate internerds of Britain?
What, like a sweary phrase?
Yeah, sweary.
What about spunk farting fuck pig?
It's pretty good. Do? I think that'll have worked for. I think about five disgusting and lonely men just shot their load there. And we should maybe do. We shouldn't give this away for free. You know, we could do an 0898 kind of service.
Yeah, no, anytime.
We could just take that out and sell that as a ringtone.
Yeah, fine.
For £2.50. It could work. We get some. But I'm actually a bit. I've been ill this week. And in fact, this week we've done three episodes of AI Ottoman.
Yeah.
Good, you're on the ball. And one of us has been ill. Everett, you were ill the first week. What was wrong with you?
I was. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but I was on the toilet and sick in the bath at the same time.
You love going to the toilet. And
it's, nice.
It's true.
Emma, you were sick last week. What was wrong with you last
week?
Well,
technically still.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to worry anyone on the front row, but actually I've got swine flu. Yeah.
Someone's happy.
Look,
thinking of a couple
you.
Of days off work there.
Basically what happened, does anyone here actually watch Casualty? No, of course
no,
you
no.
don't.
There's no crossover. The Venn diagram
no.
of As It Occurs to Me and Casualty. No intersection.
No. I know this is terrible to admit it. I've never, ever seen an episode of Casualty. So when I went down there, I didn't know who any of the regulars were or anything. And I had to do it. The first scene I had to do, this wasn't last week, it was the week before, was with Gillian Kearney, who's a regular. And she was very unwell, and we were doing shot glasses, and the prop guy between each take was taking them away and bringing them back. And all I kept thinking was, oh, fucking hell. And, of course, I went down with it. Anyway, this week I go back, and she'd given the same thing to her boyfriend, and they had to call paramedics out. He was... And she said, we've got swine flu. She came in specifically to tell me. She said, I'm really sorry, but you have actually got swine flu. And so we went to see the director, because I was literally crawling on my hands and knees between takes. We went to see the director, and we said, because we were actually filming in a real hospital with like ill babies and stuff around. And there was a genuine chance that I could actually kill someone. And so we went to the director, and I said, look, when I was with Gillian, and I said, look, I don't want to alarm you, but I've almost certainly got swine flu. And he just looked around and just went, shh.
So at least we've been honest. It's too late now. You've got it if you're here. Or if you're here last week, you're getting few enough people, Emma, for you to come and kill them with swine.
That's true.
How's it every week one of us is getting ill? What are we doing every week between that gets passed down the line? You'll be next, Christian. After what I've got planned for you tonight. But I'm actually feeling... I thought I had swine flu because Emma told me she had it, but I'm feeling better, so I don't give a fuck if you get it. So that's cool. But maybe I think we're being sabotaged, you know, by some of the other podcasts in the charts, because we're doing quite well in the charts. Maybe I think maybe Frankie Boyle is poisoning us, or maybe Robbie Williams, who's doing well in the podcast. I think it's more like it's Andrew Collins, or as I like to call him, Jacuz. That's what I think is... But, well, we're soldiers. There's coughing on the podcast. I can only apologise.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, go. Oh, yeah. There's no editor. But
you
can't
gonna,
take that.
You were
going
to say it's another time.
For oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't write in. Oh, it's no. Time for another celebrity something.
That's right.
Hello, it's me. It's Morrissey. I've been. You see, I'm waving my hand around. At home, that doesn't work. I have been told to say that I really enjoy. As it. Oh no, I can't do it. I'm down. Oh, where am I? Oh, Swindon. Oh, this just gets worse. Oh, kill me now. I envy Jacko.
So, I think having Andrew Collins' impressions might be better than that. So, anyway, this week it's a BNP special. Don't cheer that. By which I mean it's largely about the BNP rather than dedicated to them or celebrating them or sponsored by them. Although if ticket sales continue at their present rate, we might have to consider doing a Carol Vorderman and taking money for whatever shady business or enterprise is willing to give it to us. But for the moment, we're independent and free to say what we like. Willies, see. My favourite moment of the week, I hope you watch Question Time because it's mainly about that this week. So you people at home can go and watch it on iPlayer and catch up with the people here, if not bad luck. But my favourite moment of the week was during Question Time when that guy in the audience got up and said, this is a question to Dick. I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. It's brilliant. Everyone else on the programme had been so sensible and reserved and tried to argue things out in an adult fashion. So it was great just to see someone being so resolutely and ridiculously and brilliantly childish. But when you're presented with someone as childish and ridiculous as Griffin, then I think childishness and ridiculousness is the only response. And it was, for my money, the most effective critique of him in the whole programme. At least a response that was at Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin's schoolyard level. It was straight out of the, I think you're a twat, well, I think you're a twat argument handbook. What made it all the more brilliant was that the questioner had clearly planned this all out in advance. He'd been sitting there thinking, 8 million people are watching this. What can I do to bring Griffin down? Comment on his criminal conviction, his Ku Klux Klan association, his racism, his homophobia. No, I know. I'll get his name slightly wrong. So it looks like I'm calling him a penis. Then hastily correct myself. That should impress David Dimbleby. It's so pathetic. It goes all the way around past infinity and comes out genius. He was a grown man calling another grown man a dick on the BBC's flagship Sensible News debate show. And then saying, I beg your pardon. That's the bit I really love. So perfectly sarcastic and archaic and polite. Did I accidentally call your mother a whore? Oh, I beg your pardon. I'd really like it if Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, became Nick Griffin's official name. I believe we can make this happen, I really do. Every time you refer to him in conversation, call him Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. And a few months' time, everyone will be calling him that. Spread the word, tell your friends, I believe we can do this. Imagine if it took out, it'd be on the hustings.
Simon Norman.
Labour.
25,312. Norma Simons.
Conservative.
28,000. An 88. Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin.
BNP.
What a prick.
Or whenever he was mentioned on the news.
Today in the European Parliament, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. That still gets me every time.
Or if his wife is ever sensible enough to wake up, realise that she's married to a cockhole and leave him, or if she's lucky enough to simply die, then Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, find someone else deluded and blind with no sense of smell who is willing to marry him. This would happen.
Do you take this man, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, to be your lawful wedded husband?
No, I mean, thinking about it, that would be mental. His name is Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. And he got married to someone called Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. Oh, close call.
So if everyone starts calling him Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, then that will just become his name. It's the same way as like Opal Fruits became Starburst. It takes a while, but it'll come through. As you'll see from the show, it'll be very funny to begin with, and then there'll be quite a sizable chunk of time when it becomes annoying and dull, because we're really going to labour this thing. And then the constant repetition will make it very, very funny again, I promise you.
As it occurs to me, it's the shit, I beg your pardon, hit internet stand-up and skit show. Whoa.
Here's a few things that occurred to me this week.
Thursday.
BNP Cyclops, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, appeared on Question Time. Appearing on Question Time, declared that Winston Churchill would be a member of the BNP if he was alive today. It's amazing that Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, had to go back 60 years to World War II to find anyone who agrees with his views. And I think he might accidentally have picked the leader of the wrong side by mistake there.
Thursday.
Also on Question Time, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, said he shared a platform with a member of an almost entirely non-violent branch of the Ku Klux Klan. What a brilliantly amusing qualification almost entirely non-violent is. Did he think that was going to make us think, you know, we'd forget about the Ku Klux Klan bit at the end there? That's like saying you're a member of an almost entirely non-child molesting paedophile ring, or... you're a worker on an almost entirely non-planet-destroying Death Star. I like the idea of there being a branch of the Ku Klux Klan that just likes the costumes and isn't into burning crosses and racial hatred, mainly cares for sick kittens and organises bring and buy sales for charity, but every now and again they let themselves down by lynching a black man.
Sunday.
The News of the World reported that Queen Elizabeth II has declared war on the BNP and has ordered all royals to join forces with her to unite Britain against Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. She must be shitting herself about the BNP getting in, because if they do, she'll be sent straight back to Germany where she belongs. And her husband will be going back to Greece, won't he? So it's bloody immigrants coming over here, taking our jobs, having loads of kids, living off the state, fucking our German women.
Saturday.
And in non-BNP news, I tuned in halfway through ITV1's showing of Star Wars 1, The Phantom Menace, and was immediately struck with the thought, God, Jar Jar Binks is a cunt. I know it's not an original observation, but I'd just forgotten how much of a cunt he was. And surely it's true and worth reiterating. If we don't keep saying that Jar Jar Binks is a cunt, then maybe somewhere someone will start to believe that Jar Jar Binks isn't a cunt, or at least that there are people who think he isn't a cunt. Hey, George Lucas, have you ever remade that film with improved CGI, which, by the way, you really need to? Also, take a look at the script and the acting while you're there. Why not replace Jar Jar Binks with a gigantic golden version of yourself wanking over and over again over the face and eyes of every true Star Wars fan? Whilst wiping its ass with $100 bills. And I thought it was only irresponsible in that film, at best, to let a small child take part in that hugely dangerous death race, however annoying he might be. At least Balloon Boy wasn't really in the balloon, though he should have been. If they'd been committed, they'd have got away with it.
As it occurs to me, up to the mere anatomical satire about films that came out 10 years ago.
Sometimes it takes a decade to really work up that fresh topical satirical angle. So the whole Question Time thing dominated my week. Did you all see it? Did everyone see it? It was brilliant, wasn't it? Was anyone who went into watching the programme not supporting the BNP, did they come out of it as a BNP supporter just by cheering? Because apparently like 3,000 people tried to join the BNP that night, although unfortunately they can't become a member because the membership's closed down because they're not letting black and Asian people become members, which is brilliant. But it's still only like 1 in 2,000, nearly 3,000 people who watched it. So hopefully, as long as you vote, everything will be exciting. Things are very exciting around Shepherd's Bush. I lived down there. I could tell you there were helicopters hovering in the sky, protesters gathering outside the BBC. But I think they were right to let Griffin speak on the programme, not just because of the freedom of speech, but because he was elected by voters. That's democracy. It's not the BBC's fault. It's Dick, sorry about this, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, would not have got in if people had been bothered to go and vote against him. If you didn't vote in the European elections, this is your fault. I don't want to bang on about that, but I will. But wasn't Bonnie Greer brilliant? She was fantastic. Just controlled and sarcastic enough to let Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin hang himself. And who was the better advertisement for Britain? The fat, one-eyed, melty-faced, prejudiced twat convinced he was directly related to people who came here in the Ice Age, and that no immigrants had come in the interim and disrupted that bloodline. Or this graceful, real, calm, intelligent, non-judgmental goddess. It comes to something when an American is better at being British than a British person. I actually met Bonnie Greer once. I'd forgotten about this, but we were on Richard and Judy together on Richard and Judy's book club. We had to discuss a really trashy novel. And I have to say, she didn't let me get a word in edgeways in that discussion, so I was a bit insulted that she allowed Nick Griffin to speak so much. And my opinion's more objectionable. My opinion's about some crap novel on the bestsellers list, more objectionable than the BMPs. Anyway, I forgave her when I saw her on Question Time. I just wanted to marry her. And I looked her up on Wikipedia, because that's the first step. Just got to find some stuff out about them. That's the way. Apparently, she's already married, which is a setback. It's not that much of an obstacle to me. I'll find. But you know what I found? You might find this is true, and I'm not making this up. That woman is 60 years old. Does she look absolutely incredible? She's made a gerontophile of me, which is. I was always doing the opposite of that. I mean, I hate old people, or not. And, you know, Dick, I looked up Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin on the internet, and he's the best example of Aboriginal England. He's 23 years old. You wouldn't believe it. Doesn't look it, does it? I don't think I was the only one enamoured of her beauty, though, and wit, though. Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin looked rather smitten, too, didn't he? Now, he seemed to be getting on quite well. Now, some people think that's because he was desperately attempting to show that he wasn't a racist, but I've got another theory. Here's what really happened.
As it occurs to me...
What really happened?
Young Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, was the most unpopular boy at his school. No one liked him, and girls didn't notice him. Basically, he was a cock-munching thundercunt. But one day, from afar, he noticed a new student.
Oh, my goodness. Who is that Ebony Vaneth?
Hi, my name's Bonnie. I'm from Chicago. Even though I was born into poverty, I'm going to work and work and become an international playwright and, fingers crossed, deputy chairman of the British Museum.
She's gorgeous, she's intelligent, but she'd never be interested in someone like me. Fat, ugly and dim. There must be some way I can make her notice me, get her attention. I know, chicks love two things. A, men who call them chicks. And B, bad boys, men who are rude and offhand with them and think the opposite of everything they think. Maybe if I were to join the National Front and deny the Holocaust and incite racial hatred, she'd take more of an interest. Then, if I was good enough at being racist, I could become leader of a right-wing political party. And if I won a seat at the European elections, might get invited onto Question Time. And with a bit of luck, Bonnie might be sitting next to me. And then I can laugh at everything she said, even if it's very offensive to me. And then just at the last minute, slip her my phone number. And hope for the best. I mean, I'm playing a long game on this, but it might just work.
And Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin's plan did work. Right up to the point where he got on Question Time. But then he blew it by turning into a simpering, one-eyed, puppy-eyed buffoon. Because Alexandra Burke has it right. All we chicks want are bad boys who will treat us like dirt. It must be true because I am a woman and I am saying it. All women are idiots. That is the one thing you should learn from this story.
Wow. I'd never have thought. I think that's really against everything I would have thought. But I guess if a woman said that, then it must be true. I can't believe it. Do you know how Nick Griffin lost his eye? And said, this is completely true. I looked this up on Wikipedia. I wasn't trying to marry Nick Griffin. I was just researching the show. This is true. A shotgun cartridge on a fire exploded in his face. That's what he was shot by a fire. Even basic elements hate him so much. They'll attempt to assassinate him. It's kind of... They didn't do better. Which reminds me, earlier this week, I was eating pasta at home on my own, and as I dug into it, it shot out this little tiny droplet of hot arrabbiata sauce right into my eye. It really stung, and the shot was so precise, I can only assume that the pasta did that on purpose. So, yeah, it was like first stage in a Planet of the Pasta situation. You know you're a twat when inanimate objects attack you, but at least that proves I'm not as big a twat as Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. But the main thing I hate about racists is their laziness. That's what gets to me. It's just too easy to hate people based on the colour of their skin. There's no There's nothing to it. Is it for me to hate someone? I have to put in some work. I have to listen to what they say, read about what they think, think about it a bit, at least engage with them for a few minutes. But a racist just has this easy system, and that's the most offensive thing about racism to me, the laziness of it. I'm very much opposed to the BNP, as you'll find out if you come and see my excellent show, Hit the Moustache, on tour in the spring. But I... www.richherring.com/gigs for details. But I couldn't help noticing that having Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin on the show, Question Time, got 8 million viewers. And AI Artema, it's slipping down the iTunes chart a bit. So I decided to give us a bit of a boost. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin? Yay! Yeah, you are right not to. The people who cheered there, Pavlov's dogs. Yeah,
Richard, that name you're calling me is obviously very funny, and I will show I'm a regular guy by laughing at it, though in a somewhat creepy and Ollie Janas manner.
It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Everyone thinks you're a racist dick. I beg your pardon, Nick.
Ha ha ha, I will continue to employ laughter as my response whilst sticking out my tongue and licking my dry and nervous lips as if this was all just banter between mates.
No, stop it. Stop smiling. I'm not your friend, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin.
Ha ha ha, I love it when you take the mickey, or at least have been told by my advisors, just to laugh along when anyone is criticising me, which might have worked if I hadn't also been smirking when they were talking about the Holocaust.
You're still smirking now. Stop it, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin.
Yeah, you really... stop calling me that.
Dick, man. I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin.
Okay, seriously, stop
Dick,
it.
I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin.
No,
Dick,
it.
I beg your pardon, Nick
stop
Griffin.
It, stop
Dick,
it, stop
Dick
it, stop
I beg your pardon,
it,
Nick
it.
Griffin. Dick,
you're a dick!
Yeah, I am a dick. My name is Richard, or Dick for short, so I don't mind you saying that.
Shut up! You're a homo.
Yeah, I am a homo. Homo sapiens.
Oh, damn you. You've got an answer for everything I throw at you. Stupid asshole.
I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, I can't win. Have you been reading the British National Party argument handbook?
Stop hitting yourself. Why are you hitting yourself? Stop hitting yourself, Nick.
You idiot. You fucked it up. You called me Nick. My name is Dick. I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. No!
Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. You're only here to attract listeners. Go and sit in the corner for the rest of the show and say nothing at all.
Left-wing lynch mob. Internet lynch mob.
Yeah, the internet is incredibly left-wing. I don't know if you've looked at any of it. It's the most right-on thing in the world. I wonder if the BNP, if they got in charge, whether they'd have anyone else on Question Time. Anyway, the BNP's schoolyard argument seemed to be that Britain belongs to British people, whoever they are, because we were here first. But his claim is disputed by our next guest, Ug Harris from the BNP, the British Neanderthal Party. Yeah, more popular. But wait till you hear what he has to say. Hello, Ug.
Hello, Richard. It's lovely to be here. Though I was here first.
Yeah, because... you were a Neanderthal man, that's
true. Yeah. People thought we died out, but we're alive and well and living in Middlesbrough. Neanderthal man was in Europe tens of thousands of years before Homo sapiens got anywhere near here, so by the rule of we are here first, Britain belongs to us, our policy is to deport all the Homo sapiens back to Africa, where they come from, so I hope we can rely on your vote in the next election.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but surely the ancient law of finders, keepers, losers, weepers usurps that we were here first.
No, not at all, Richard. It's definitely we were here first that is a top trump in this situation.
Well, in that case, I have someone here who thinks they might have a better claim to our country. It's a member of the species of disgusting half-fish, half-lizard-type creatures that first crawled out of the sea millions of years ago.
Yes, Rich, my kind were the first creatures to walk on the earth, crawling out the slime, struggling to breathe in the harsh, gill-burning air. But as such, we were definitely here first, and we want our land back.
Surely back then, though, disgusting fish lizard thing. Sorry, I don't know your name.
I don't have a name. I'm a disgusting fish lizard.
Right, fair enough. Well, surely then, when you came out of the sea, the whole geography of the world was different, and Britain as such did not exist, being, as I imagine, a part of the massive supercontinent Pangaea.
Yeah, I thought you brought that up. And in a sense, it is ridiculous to see the world as different countries when it all started as one continental mass. But in another sense, we were the first beings to step onto Pangaea, and thus we own all of it, including Britain, so go fuck yourself.
No need to be rude about that. You seem to be struggling for breath on the land.
Yeah, if my species doesn't return to water every 5 minutes, we do die. But we still want all the land, even the bits that are more than 5 minutes from the water. Like here, which will kill us if we visit them. But in any case, we're really slow and sluggish. And if you want to defeat our army, you just have to step on us.
Well, thanks for sliding on in.
Please, I'm in so much pain. Kill me now.
I don't think I could. So, through the power of this hastily written satirical piece, I think we've all learned the error of trying to use historical prerogative. Fucking hell. I'll retake that, darling. We've all learned the error of trying to use historical prerogative to claim a signorial right. Why did I write this over any piece of land? I knew I'd have to say it. Anyway, time for another celebrity endorsement.
Hi, I'm Lily Allen from out of Keith Allen's testicles. This week, I recklessly gave up on the entire internet, Twitter, MySpace, everything, to become a neo-Luddite. I remembered too late that by doing that, I'd never get to hear my favourite show, AI Otama, again. But it's so... Thanks. But it's okay. I'm using my millions to pay the Royal Shakespeare Company to recreate each episode, word for word, fluffs and failed sketches included. Why don't you do that too? We don't need the internet. Oh, God, I miss it.
Lily Allen there, that was her. So, or if you're Lily Allen listening to this, that's someone in the Royal Shakespeare Company playing you.
It's Judy Dench. It was good for her to come down.
It was nice. So, anyway, I've got a lovely audience here. I'm going to go to the audience first, then I'll come back to you. Yeah, we'll go to them. So, has anyone had anything that's going to have their house lights up a little bit that's occurred to them this week? Hands up if you had something that's occurred to you. Who's had something good? No one's had anything. Don't worry, I won't take the piss out of you very much. Anyone had something really awful happen to occur to them this week? Nothing's happened to this. 200 people in the room. Not one person's had... Yeah, you got... What's happened to you, sir?
I had... My mother-in-law came round for her birthday.
Your mother-in-law came round for her birthday. Have we... Is that part of the theatre just gone back to the 1970s? is there a time portal?
I cooked.
Oh, wow. He cooked. That's Steve Berry there, for anyone who knows him. He works at Channel 4. That's the kind of dicks they have working on TV. That's why it's important to work on the internet now. By step, the broadcasters. Thank you. I won't take the piss out of anyone else, though, who joins in. Did anyone else have anything occurred to you, madam, this week?
I saw three of my favourite bands this week.
You saw three of your favourite bands? What are the three favourite bands you saw?
Green Day, Lost Prophets and
Spandau Ballet. What are your other favourite bands?
Duran Duran.
Duran
Duran. Metallica.
Metallica, cool. terrible taste in music. I'm just kind of slightly embarrassed that you're at my show. I mean, it might actually mean that my comedy is rubbish. That's why I always thought it would be quite good. What's happened to you? Anything else good to you, Emma Kennedy? The audience are like...
Oh, I had a rather intriguing telephone call.
Oh, yes.
And a visit from a man from the council, because apparently one of my neighbours has complained to the council about me. And I'm not a gypsy, don't worry.
Is it because you were shitting in the garden the other week?
Well, she didn't see me. I didn't do a poo in the garden. It was only liquid. Anyway, I've been having my bathroom redecorated, and this lady who lives next door to me, she phoned up the council to tell them that I'd been smashing down chimney pots. Like I'm Mary Poppins. and turning my flat into several other flats.
Not that big your flat though, is it?
No, it's like just a one-bedroom garden flat. It's like, you know, I'm not trying to get China into it. Anyway, the councilman, he phoned me and he said, look, you know, you really do need permission to turn your flat into other flats and to knock down chimney pots. And I said, no, you've misunderstood. I've just had my bathroom redecorated. That was all of it. And then there was this just silence. And he just went, yeah, but you need planning permission to do your chimneys. And basically, my next door neighbour just entirely made this up. So why don't you fuck off, you old walnut-faced old gonk?
Do you know, it's just slightly annoying because she fell over in her back garden and I stayed with her for an hour and I called the ambulance. I cut her fucking edge for the bitch.
She probably told the ambulance you were touching her up.
There was that.
It's because you didn't touch her up. That's what the old have you got anything, Dan Tetzel, to trump that?
I don't know. I had a sort of internal occurrence. It was, I'm sorry, talk about, no, not like that. I was sort of watching Question Time and Nick, I beg your pardon, Dick, oh no, Griffin. he had a go at Jack Straw because Jack Straw's grandfather or father was a conscientious objector while his had fought in the war against the Nazis, as if that's not an argument against how weak minded he is, like, you know, oh, your grandfather disappointed in you. And my grandfather was fought in the war, but he was in the SS. This is true, and I sort of got me thinking about it again. And I sort of went back, and for years I've tortured myself. I said, oh my, what made him do that? What would I do in that situation? You know, he was born after the First World War, and grew up through the Depression, and joined the Nazis. And did he think that was the best thing to do? And was he, you know, was he conflicted, or was he a good man who was forced to do bad things? And, you know, I spent all this, and it sort of struck me, he says, no, he's just a fucking arsehole. It's quite a cleared way off my mind, really. Fuck him, he was a Nazi. Fuck him. Russian, shot him. Fuck him. I never met him. Arsehole. His wife was an arsehole as well. She was a Nazi, so was my great aunt.
Yeah.
Really like the royal family. There you go, that's it.
Let's go. Thank you very much, Dan Tetzel.
Saturday.
On the Uxbridge Road in Shepherd's Bush, I passed a guy with a T-shirt that read white on black, Bombay Bicycle Club, and nothing else, just those words. It left me wondering, was he a fan of the band Bombay Bicycle Club or the takeaway restaurant Bombay Bicycle Club? It didn't say. Or perhaps he was bigging up the gathering place on the Indian subcontinent where colonial officers would picnic in the 19th century, which both those things are named after. It didn't say. Or there was a chance that he was a member of a bicycle club that had been set up in Bombay, presumably before it was renamed Mumbai in 1996. But it was unclear which of these things. What's the point in having a T-shirt that says you like something, which doesn't, you know, then say what the thing is that you like? It leaves it unclear. It's confusing. It needs to be more specific. What if I went up to him thinking he liked curry, when in fact he was just a man who'd enjoyed cycling in India in 1994? What if I went and sang him a song by the Bombay Bicycle Club? I probably couldn't do that, because I don't know who they are. And he looked confused and explained that he just loved colonial India and the picnics that British officers used to have there. The T-shirt needs clarification at best. I suggest, like, some kind of tick list on it of the four options. You can tick one or more. You know, if you like two of the... maybe you liked all of the things. And that's okay, but he needs to clarify. So I just thought, I just needed to get that out in case that bloke... he might be listening at home, so sort it out.
Supposed to be writing, but if that happens, it can be a little bit frightening, and then we have to try and fill up the time in any way possible. We gotta fill up that time. We gotta fill up that time. How are we gonna fill up that time? How we're gonna feel?
Just the ladies.
How we're gonna feel? All right,
the fellas.
Feel that time. That's when I see that time. I just wanna fill it up like a sperm donor with a turkey baster. I am.
Sunday.
If anything, Kristen, we've got a bit too much stuff this week, so that was really unhelpful. On Sunday, Jimmy Carr got into trouble for making a sick joke. Jimmy Carr doing a sick joke? What's going on? The world's turned upside down. That doesn't sound like something he'd do. Anyway, this is the joke that he did.
Say what you like about these servicemen and amputees from Iraq and Afghanistan, but we're going to have a fucking good Paralympic team in 2012.
I mean, it's all right. It's a bit dark, I guess. It's clearly intended as a joke and no more offensive than any of the other jokes he does, unless you take everything he says that is something he literally believes, in which case he advocates rape and child molestation as well. The Sunday Express and the Mail on Sunday were furious. The Mail perhaps forgetting what it did last week with a serious article that didn't have any excuse for being done for comic effect. But anyway, when you look at it, it's not that offensive. Given that these events have already happened, it's just true. It's barely even a joke. In a way, it's a compliment. Lots of fit people are now disabled. They should do well at the Olympics. If Jimmy Carr had said he was delighted that people had been hurt or that more people should be hurt, then maybe you'd have a point in being upset. But he's not saying that. Or if Jimmy Carr had been the one who'd actually sent those soldiers out to fight in the war that had caused the injuries, then I could see why people might want to make a fuss about that, but not making a joke about it. Anyway, Diane Durney, whose son lost both legs in Afghanistan, apparently said this.
Soldiers are fighting for freedom of speech. I hope Mr. Carr remembers that when he makes offensive jokes ridiculing them.
Which is kind of an odd thing to say in the circumstances, because if that's the case, surely Jimmy Carr must be thinking,
oh, I've got this great joke about disabled soldiers in the Olympics, but I have to remember that those soldiers are fighting for freedom of speech. So if I censor myself from saying it, aren't I denying myself the freedom of speech that they're fighting for? Well, surely, given the sacrifice they're making, that would be a massive slap in the face. I better do the joke.
As it occurs to me, like the most recent servicemen blown up by roadside bombs, we're just finding our feet.
So that would be an offensive joke about it. And I thought long and hard about... I thought long and hard about putting that sting in the show. I didn't want to. I think it's a really horrible joke. But given our boys are fighting for freedom of speech, it's good to know that's why they're there, though, isn't it? I hadn't realised... I thought there was freedom of speech already, but it's good that we're killing some Afghanistanis to get some more of it. And I'm sure the Afghan men would be happy that song was sung as a result. Anyway, carry on.
Sunday.
I did my monthly gig at the Lyric Theatre Hammersmith. They're brilliant nights. The next one's on the 29th of November. Come along. We had Paul Sinhar, Tim Key, Doc Brown and Stephen Merchant on the bill. That would have annoyed Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, as it was an ethnically mixed bill with an Asian who's a gay guy and a black guy on it as well. Pretty cool. No women, though. No need to go mad. We were performing on the set of the play Comedians, which is great. You must go and see it. It's brilliant, even though it does have Keith Allen in it. Despite that, you'll still enjoy it. I really hate Keith Allen. He's my enemy. The only thing good he's ever done is to squeeze Lily Allen out of his cock. That is the... And he must be thanked for that. Some of you might not know this. I think I've told this story before. But when I was in the Oxford Review in 1988, he came to review our show for BBC Two. He turned up pissed. I'm not saying he was on cocaine as well, but he definitely was. The first sketch in the show involved a suicide attempt. We were up high. There was some crash match on the stage to stop the actor Ben Moore hurting himself when he jumped off about 10-foot drop. Keith Allen, he moved the mats around. You were in the show as well, do you remember? Yeah, he moved the mats around.
I was there.
What else did he do?
He went backstage and he sort of went across the props table.
Knocked all of our props off. He moved the crash mat. He shouted out, "Jump now, you fucker!" And then, nice guy. And then... Ben, always the professional, I pushed him a bit, but he did jump off. Alan then left the theatre after seeing just that one sketch, the one sketch he tried to sabotage. He attempted to punch the theatre manager on the way out.
Who was a woman.
Right.
Yes.
Trying to punch a woman. And that's quite poor behaviour, especially for a reviewer, I would say. And then his review of the show was one sentence.
The Oxford Review, as you'd expect, awful.
which was probably accurate, but I don't think it's necessarily fair to make that decision. And I've been waiting for years to get my revenge on him. 20 years I've waited. I thought, when I was watching him in this play, I thought of storming the stage when I went to see it and throwing his props around, but I didn't think the Lyric Theatre would be very impressed with me given I do a comedy night for them. But last night, it was there. We were in the theatre and they weren't there. I came up with the perfect revenge for after 20 years. I crept into Keith Allen's dressing room under the cloak of night, and I did a shit in the hat he wears on stage. Then I left the note saying, don't worry, there's nothing unusual with the hat. Just put it straight on your head without looking into it as normal. It'll be fine. So go and see comedians on Tuesday night and you'll get to see his astonished face as he walks on stage with my feces running down his face. Revenge is a dish best served cold and in poo in the hat form.
As it occurs to me, bitterness is our meat and regret is our brackish wine.
And the other revenge I've got, I didn't really do that, obviously. The real revenge I've got on Keith Allen is he could have been in As It Occurs to Me, but I'm not going to let him be. 20 years, bad luck. You'll never get that job. Anyway, time for one last celebrity endorsement.
Hello there, I'm Dr. Tate, Richard's doctor from the Shepherd's Bush practice, the Bush Doctors. Don't laugh at that. That's genuinely what we're called. We do deal with other areas of the body, though. But seriously, I do prefer working with the area around the pubic bush. So any ladies with the gynecological problems, do come and see me. There's nothing to worry about. I really am just interested in the bush in a medical way. All right. So anyway, enough of that. I'm just here to provide a doctor's note to say that Richard really has been very ill, and so he can be excused from being funny this week. Sorry, I should probably put that nearer the beginning of the show and save you all some time.
Thanks very much. That's pretty much the end of the show. I've literally run out of things to say. I hope you're enjoying this ridiculous experiment at home and here in the studio. And if you're not, remember, you don't have to listen to it, you stupid cock. The life of this project depends on people coming down to see the show live at the Leicester Square Theatre every Monday night at 8 p.m. These good people have done it. Thank you very much for coming down. Yes, it costs you money to do that. That is true. But you are able to hang around afterwards and meet the cast and find out what Dan Tetzel is like in real life.
Though, to be fair, I should point out I'm exactly as I appear on the podcast.
No, I don't. The slightly more dull.
Hurtful but true, yes. Yeah.
Hold on, don't finish the show yet. Let me speak.
My gosh, it's the deputy chairman of the British Museum and my future wife, Bonnie Greer.
Yes, Rich, yes it is, and I've got something important to say.
You've looked me up on Wikipedia and want to marry me?
No, don't be ridiculous.
Are you just going to come on here and talk and not let me get a word in edgeways like you did on Richard and Judy?
No, Richard, it's nothing to do with you. I'm here to see Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin.
Me?
Yes. Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick. I just heard about what you did for me, all that pretending to be racist for 40 years so that I'd notice you. It's the most romantic thing I've ever heard.
You mean...
Yes, Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick. I love you and want to marry you. I want to be Mrs. Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, although I will probably keep my own name for professional engagements.
Fair enough.
But Bonnie, you can't marry Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. Still not got to the point yet where that... It's funny, but it will. We're just going through the. That's the last time we say it. But if you carry on doing that at home, it will become funny again. Why? Don't marry Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin. No, still not funny. It's a delayed reaction. He's racist. Why don't you marry me? I've never been racist. Well, maybe a little bit when I was at school, but you know, it was the 1970s. I was in Somerset. There were hardly any black people around. We were all racist then. We didn't know any better, but I'm sorry.
Sorry, Rich. Like Alexandra Burke and all women, I just love bad boys, despite the terrible sexist image that unfortunately sends out to the world.
God, women are stupid.
Yes. Yes, we are. Now come here and kiss me.
That's all for this week. It hasn't really... That isn't really the message I wanted to send out. The kind of show was sort of an anti-BNP thing. And now it's...
I'll lick my eye.
Now it's... It's an anti-BNP thing and a sort of pro women thing. It's turned into this kind of... It's not, you know, Bonnie Greer getting off with Dick. It's not... The real message of this show is that I'm delighted that our soldiers are getting their legs blown off in Afghanistan. And I hope that it will happen a lot more often. Can you two stop kissing? I find the whole idea of Dick, I beg your pardon, Nick Griffin, kissing anyone just a little bit creepy. And it shouldn't be allowed, even in the privacy of his own home. But certainly not in my podcast.
You can't stop us.
Yes, I can. I was here first. Now, piss off. Piss off back to where you came from. Up your mother's cunts. You probably couldn't say that on the BBC sketch show. That could probably couldn't be the punchline of the show, but it is. Anyway, thanks very much for coming. Goodbye.
As It Occurs to Me was written by and starred Dick, I Beg Your Pardon, Richard Herring, was performed by Fanny, I Beg Your Pardon, Dan Tetzel, and me, TV's Hemorrhoid, I Beg Your Pardon, Emma Kennedy. Kissed Ian, I Beg Your Pardon, Kristen Riley, did all the musical bits, and Bender, I Beg Your Pardon, Ben Ward, was in charge. With thanks to Enema, I Beg Your Pardon, Emma Brunges, Smelly, I Beg Your Pardon, Kelly Enfield, Gobjob, I Beg Your Pardon, Rob Sedgbeer, and everyone at the Festa Squirt Blister, I Beg Your Pardon, Leicester Square Theatre. This would never reach your ears without the technical wizardry and bandwidth supplied by Orange Skidmark, I Beg Your Pardon, Orange Mark, and the British Comedy Guide. This is an Avalon and Sky Potato production and is sponsored by the BNP, the Banque Nationale de Paris.
Thank you very much. Come and see us next week, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to gofasterstripe.com for fantastic downloads and books and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, richardherring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It'll make me feel sad.